Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Today's epistle lesson is a challenging one, with all of these exhortations about how to live the Christian life. It covers such a broad array of subjects that have no apparent connecting thread. And so, what do you do with that? Do you try to cover everything? But to do that would be to give you a sermon that's a mile wide and an inch deep. So today, instead, I'm going to try to cover everything barely, I want to cover just one or a few things very carefully. And I've chosen them the theme that is on your worship bulletin, and it comes from Romans in chapter 12, the 12th verse. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. It's God's word. Please be seated. So, as I was thinking about the subject of patience, my mind turned to golf. Well, I wonder what the link is there, right? I'll tell you what, if anything ever requires patience, that's it. I can't say that, you know, I've ever completely lost my patience on the golf course, or ever blown my stack or anything like that, or threatened to walk away from the game, although I do have to say that a few weeks ago at that Stephanie Kasau golf event, I thought about walking away from it a few times because I was just terrible. I just stunk up the course. But the game can be so infuriating, so frustrating. One golfer said, I think I've got the game of golf figured out. If you hit the ball to the right, it's called a slice. If you hit the ball to the left, it's called a hook. If you hit the ball straight, it's called a miracle. Or I like Gerald Ford's line. He said, I know that I'm getting better at golf because I'm hitting fewer spectators. And he did that in my hometown at a pro-am in Iowa City. He hit a couple of spectators there. And I can understand all of these sentiments because as awful as I'm playing this year, I am going to have my ball retriever re-gripped this year, I think. It takes patience, a lot of patience. I have seen some golfers really lose their patience. I've seen benches get kicked, clubs get bent around trees, thrown down the course or smashed into the ground. So one guy shanked a drive one day and he just took his driver right over his knee and threw it in the trash receptacle right there at the tee. Tribulation has a way of doing that to you, doesn't it? It brings you to the point of wanting to give up and just walk away in sheer frustration. Which is why Paul's words to us today are such a blessing. He reveals to us that patience is a gift. It's God's gift to us. It's not that it's necessarily something we're born with or that comes easily to us or naturally. It doesn't. Patience is a gift. It's given by God and it's renewed in us daily by God. It's part of the bounty of God's blessings to us as we live our lives with each other in the body of Christ and in this world. Paul knows that when we undergo tribulation, it is not easy to hold on to your patience. Keeping in mind, of course, that he is not talking here about the tribulation of playing a round of golf, as trying as that can be. But Paul is talking about the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh fighting against us, seeking to take away the joy and the comfort of our salvation. Being a Christian is just a constant struggle against these things. We confess God's word in this world, and the world turns hostile toward us. We show love to an enemy, and he spites you. You hold on to what is good. You try to hold on to what is good, and the world laughs at you and mocks you. You practice mercy, and you're taken advantage of. You try to serve the Lord with a fervent spirit, but time and again, the sinful flesh just gets a hold of you, gets the best of you, and sidetracks you from the way of righteousness. It is frustrating to no end. Assuming, of course, that you are serious about wanting to live your faith, it's frustrating. It seems that everything in the world, everything in me, is against me. And it is. Because we are fighting a very persistent and determined enemy, the devil, who is the prince of this world, who hates everything about Christ and his kingdom. And then there's the world itself, which also opposes the kingdom of God, whether it's your peers or whatever it is in this world. And then not only that, on top of all of that, is my own flesh that fails me, because it has also been infected with the sin virus. And it's a constant struggle. And when the fight is fierce, and when the warfare is long, we're tempted to lose our patience. But Paul has a blessed word for us. That God in His mercy renews patience to you. Again, in tribulation, the temptation is to walk away from it. You're tempted to lay down your weapons, to wave the white flag, and to give up and to stop the fight. To give up on God. It's just too difficult to walk in the way of righteousness in a world that prefers to wallow in the filth. I have witnessed how difficult that is in your lives as I've gotten to know you. And my goodness, I sure see it in my own life. How easily we give in. How quickly we cave in to the surrounding darkness. How deftly we blend in to the world's values and its sense of humor and its language and its ways of doing things. Jeremiah felt this too. In our Old Testament reading, he said, "Because of my faithfulness, O Lord, to you, I have become a laughing stock." Jeremiah keeps prophesying that doom is coming to the people, but it never happens. And so the people see Jeremiah like the prophet who called wolf. And they mock him and they shun him. And he gets lonely to the point of blaming all of his problems on God. He says that God is like the waters of a deceitful brook that have failed him. It sounds like Jeremiah is just on the verge of giving up with God. Waving the white flag. I can't do it anymore. And yet, I hope you notice this in the Old Testament reading. Just when it seems that Jeremiah is about to throw in the towel, he instead turns back toward God in prayer. And God, in His infinite mercy, answers that prayer and reassures Jeremiah, "I am with you to save you," declares the Lord. "I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked. I will redeem you from the hands of the ruthless." What did Paul say, remember? Be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope. That's what Jeremiah did. Constant in prayer. And then God renewed hope to him, and in that hope he rejoiced. Constant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. It is no accident that those two phrases sandwich like pieces of bread Paul's statement about patience. That's not an accident. After all, how do you think God renews patience to us? It sure doesn't come in a vitamin pill you take in the morning, vitamin P for patience. No, it is through constant prayer and then by rejoicing in the hope of His coming salvation. That's how Jeremiah found patience in his tribulations. He prayed, and then he heard the promise of God of His coming salvation, and in that promise he hoped and he rejoiced. Even if that hope was not going to be immediately fulfilled in his life, he knew that it would one day be fulfilled because the one who promised it is always faithful. Look also to Christ, in whom God came down to us. He knows what it means to patiently endure your trials. He suffered innocently for the sins of the world. For us, with perfect patience. But how did He do that? How did He keep hold of His patience through all of that? Well, He prayed constantly. Study His life in the Gospels. His life was seasoned with prayer as He prepared Himself for the hour of His suffering and death. He prayed again in the Garden of Gethsemane for the Lord's strength to bear Him up. He prayed again from the cross. "Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit." And then he rejoiced in hope. Not a hope that was going to be realized lickety-split on the spot, but a hope that was out there a ways. A hope that God had held up to him. As Paul said in Philippians, it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and scorned its shame. And what was that joy? What was that hope that drove him to do what he did? It was the hope of claiming you back for his eternal kingdom by the forgiveness of your sins, so that you might live under him in his kingdom, not in Satan's kingdom, in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness and be with him forever. That was the hope that was out there as he gave his life on the cross and resolved to lay it down as a ransom for all of us. And so he prayed constantly, and he rejoiced in hope. In the great Lenten hymn, we sing, "Learn of Jesus Christ to pray." And to that we could also add the words, "Learn of Jesus Christ to hope." Because through prayer and through hope, we learn to patiently endure anything and everything that this life is going to throw at us. And I recognize that life is going to bring you all kinds of, and is bringing you, all kinds of tribulations and trials that perhaps are driving you close to the breaking point where you feel like giving up on God. You know, endless days of loneliness perhaps in your elderly years, or a disease and the pain that goes with that, or perhaps a financial burden or a woe, or a relationship crisis or a problem. And along with all of that, just the difficulty of trying to be true to Jesus Christ in a world that hates Christ. I don't have any easy answers for those things. There is no speedy deliverance for you as we measure speediness. There is no silver bullet that is going to slay your crisis and your dilemma. Which is why the church on earth, along with the church in heaven, is always praying, "O Lord, how long? How long, O Lord? You've won the victory, but how long until we reap the full rewards of that victory in freedom and in release from all of the trials and tribulations of this life? When, O Lord, how long will it be?" And there is no direct answer to that question, to that prayer. It's not going to be right here, maybe. And so the answer comes back to us, be patient. Patient. And to keep up your patience, pray constantly and rejoice in the hope of Christ. The hope that says to us, as it said to Jeremiah, "I will restore you and you will stand before me. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you, declares the Lord." Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.